Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 5th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, High School Boys Basketball State Champions. Midland Christian Seniors Lead Mustangs to State Title. By Mike Waters, MRT correspondent. Robinson. The four starting seniors on the Midland Christian boys basketball team were determined to close out their Mustang basketball careers with a state championship. And that came to fruition, leading wire to wire, as number 2-ranked MCS emerged with a 55-39 victory over the Woodlands Christian in the TAPS 5A Boys State Championship game Saturday afternoon at Robinson High School. I'm speechless, said MCS senior Andrew Fox, who scored all 8 of his points in the fourth quarter. We won this as a team. Great teammates. Worked hard all season, and this just amazing. Josiah Ray, who scored a game-high 19 points, including 14 in the second half, echoed those sentiments. This means everything, said Ray. All the hard work paid off. Kaysen Pruitt recorded 10 points, hitting a pair of buzzer-beating shots in the championship win, a three-pointer at the end of the second quarter to give the Mustangs a 21-14 advantage, then a layup just as the buzzer sounded to end the third stanza, for a 32-25 lead entering the final period, which saw MCS, 34-5, outscore the Woodlands Christian, 23-14. After a three-pointer by the Woodlands Christian to begin the fourth quarter narrowed the lead to 4, an 8-0 Mustang run, consecutive threes by Pruitt and Ray, then a basket by Fox, opened a 40-28 cushion, and MCS never looked back. Zach Day, the final member of the senior starting quartet, scored 11 of his 13 points in the first half, facing double and triple teams throughout the game. This is such an unbelievable feeling, Day said. Win as a team. Trust your teammates. We knew that Woodlands would use the double-team strategy on Zach, MCS coach Chris Ryburn said. After Zach's big game yesterday, that was something we accepted, and Zach did a great job of getting out of traffic and finding his teammates. Sophomore Brody McHugh chipped in with 5 points to round out the scoring for the Mustangs. Ryburn said he was so proud of his team and that close-knit senior group. All the showing up for practices, the hard work these guys put in, paid off, he said. Midland Christian won its third TAPS championship in boys basketball, and the first since back-to-back titles in 2007-2008. This is a dream come true, Ryburn said. It is so hard to believe at the moment. We did not shoot that well in the first half. Our defense has been our backbone all year, and it carried us again. State champions, great feeling. So happy for the team. Day, Fox, and Ray were all named to the 10-player all-tournament team. The Woodlands Christian, 27-8, was led by Trez Luzzi, who tallied a team-high 13 points. Midland Christian, 55. The Woodlands Christian, 39. A conversation with Chris Ryburn. Read our interview with the Midland Christian boys basketball coach on page B1. This article is entitled, 3-year-old hospitalized after being attacked by family dog. By B. K. Richter, staff writer. A 3-year-old child was rushed to the hospital after being attacked by his family dog Sunday morning. The attack occurred at the family's home on the 400 block of Cedar Avenue at approximately 10:07 a.m. According to a city press release, Midland police officers reported that a 3-year-old boy was attacked by at least one of the family's dogs and suffered bite marks all over his body, including his neck and head. Emergency medical services transported the child to Midland Memorial Hospital, where personnel were able to stabilize the victim and then airlift him to Lubbock. Midland police reported the investigation into the incident is ongoing, and no arrests have been made at this time. According to city officials, animal services also reported to the scene of the incident. DogsBite.org is a national dog bite victims group dedicated to reducing serious dog attacks. The organization reports that victims of severe dog attacks often suffer acute damage, which may require $300,000 to $1 million in specialized medical treatment. Reconstructive surgery, such as skin grafts, tissue expansion, and scar diminishment, often requires multiple procedures over a period of years, the organization states on its website. The Reporter-Telegram reached out to the city of Midland regarding dog breed specific laws. According to the city's website, there are numerous laws regarding dogs that date back as early as the mid-1970s and have been amended as recently as 2017. Midland Animal Services Director Melissa Griffin Hobson responded to questions about citywide restrictions for certain dog breeds, following speculation by some residents that the dogs involved in the attack were certain breeds, such as pit bulls. However, Griffin Hobson squashed those rumors. "At this time, we are not considering breed restrictions," Griffin Hobson said in an email to the Reporter-Telegram. "The dogs in question appear to be lab mixes, and we find breed restrictions to be not equitable. While we advocate for all animals to be spayed and neutered to promote responsible pet ownership, enforcing such measures is challenging and not something we are currently considering." Griffin Hobson also noted the city's existing dangerous dog ordinance. "This ordinance does not single out specific breeds, but rather focuses on the behavior of individual dogs. According to S6-10-1 of our ordinances, a dangerous dog is defined based on behavior that poses a threat to human safety or the safety of other animals, not on the breed of the dog," she wrote in the email. The dangerous dog ordinance includes dogs that make unprovoked attacks that cause bodily injury, or dogs that behave in a manner that leads a person to reasonably believe that the dog may attack and cause bodily injury. Further, the ordinance outlines procedures for the determination of a dog as dangerous, S6-10-2, requirements for keeping a dangerous dog, S6-10-5, and penalties for owners who fail to comply with safety measures, S6-10-6. These measures include, but are not limited to, securing the dangerous dog in a proper enclosure, registering the dog as dangerous, and obtaining liability insurance, Griffin Hobson wrote. She said, "The approach of Midland Animal Services is to address the root cause of dangerous behavior in dogs rather than targeting specific breeds. We believe this is a more fair and effective way to ensure public safety while respecting the rights of responsible dog owners," she wrote. This article is entitled "Advancing the Local Commercial Aerospace Economy in Midland. Space Force Association Set to Help City," by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Midland Development Corporation has added another tool to its toolbox to advance the local commercial aerospace economy. MDC board members at their monthly meeting approved a promotional agreement with Space Force Association Texas for an amount not to exceed $250,000 through September 30th, 2025. The funding will help Space Force Association Texas to establish headquarters at the University of Texas Permian Basin's Center for Energy and Economic Diversification. Eric McManus, Texas Chapter President of Space Force Association, told board members his organization's mission is job creation, fostering local business support, introduction of commercial space companies, and localization of space companies in the Permian Basin. "We consider that small businesses create the majority of jobs," he told board members, adding that an estimated 93% of innovation comes from small businesses. While the MDC agreement would help establish its Midland headquarters, Space Force Association estimates strategic partnerships and anticipated sponsorship funding from industry leaders will help it become self-sufficient. McManus told board members the organization has an intended timeline of 6 years in Midland. Its office at SEED will hire 2 UTPB student interns interested in the industry. It will also advocate for Permian Basin opportunities in the U.S. Space Force on a monthly rotational basis. Peterson Space Force, in collaboration with SFA Colorado, Los Angeles Space Force Base, in collaboration with SFA Los Angeles, and Kennedy Space Center, in collaboration with SFA Florida. The organization will also promote Midland's related assets for use by U.S. Space Force and Texas-related stakeholders, including a horizontal and vertical launch site, rocket test range, high-speed aerospace corridor, and Midland altitude chambers. He outlined 2 steps the organization will take. First is setting up a network and social events with nonprofits and the local commercial aerospace industry. Second is setting up workshops to bring together representatives from the industry, academia, and nonprofit research, he said. Working with area schools is also a priority, he said. I have 3 sons, ages 8, 6, and 4, and I want them to have a space industry to work in, he said. Midland's developing commercial aerospace industry can help the U.S. lead travel into space and work from space, he said. This article is entitled City of Midland Building Permits from February 19th to 23rd by the City of Midland, submitted to the Reporter-Telegram. City of Midland Building Permits from February 19th to 23rd, grouped by type. New Commercial, 12115 Geordie Road, 12113 Geordie Road, 12015 Geordie Road, 12101 Geordie Road, 3212 West Wadley Avenue, 1701 Cotton Flat Road, 1810 North FM 1788. Commercial Alteration, 600 West Illinois Avenue, 3211 West Wadley Avenue, 503 East Interstate 20. Swimming Pool, 5105 Brown Hart Lane, 2307 Fortune Drive, 6711 Victory Parkway. Residential Alteration, 1310 Mackenzie Street, 5609 Baca Street, 3404 Cape Cod Lane, 4738 Wilshire Drive, 3809 Fannin Avenue, 611 Brooks Drive, 2408 Story Avenue, 510 Watson Street, 1612 Neely Avenue, 3611 Boyd Avenue. New Residence, 712 East New York Avenue, 5704 Flycatcher, 5825 Briscoe Road, 2506 and 2504 Chickadee Drive, 2107, 2109, and 2201 Pike Way, 6718 Expedition Drive, as well as 6716, 6714 Expedition Drive, 6708, 6710, 6706, 6704, 6702, 6700, 6701 Expedition Drive, 6804 Castlewood Drive, 1006 Kildare Court, and 1010 Kildare Court. Residence detached, 4302 Crowley Boulevard. Residential addition, 2000 Staniland Avenue, 4708 Seminole Drive, 2405 Sinclair Avenue, 5304 Chesley Court. Duplex, 2101 North Main Street. Sign, 1401 Orchard Lane, 3301 Neely Avenue, and 1505 Tradewinds Boulevard. The source of this article is the City of Midland. This article is entitled, Event Celebrates the Past, Honors the Future, by B. K. Richter, staff writer. The Haley Memorial Library and the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, Aaron Estes chapter, on Saturday hosted the annual observance of the signing of the Declaration of Independence by the founders of the Republic of Texas on March 2, 1836. The celebration, which was hosted by the Haley Memorial Library on Indiana Street, featured two student essay award winners from 75 submitted essays and included an official flag ceremony, an official toast to Texas, and a three-cannon salute featuring the ceremonial replicas of the Twin Sisters of Cincinnati. The Saturday celebration was standing room only, as more than 100 guests filled the lobby of the library. The first student essay featured during the celebration was a piece dedicated to Texan Colin McKinney by fourth grader Ainsley Stike of the Hillander School. Colin McKinney was a famous Texan who made a great impact to our state, Stike wrote. With Texas winning independence, he helped to write the Constitution of the Republic of Texas. Even though he was older, he was elected as the delegate from Red River County to the 1st, 2nd, and 4th Congress of the Republic of Texas. The second student essay featured the Canary Islanders and their impact on the Republic of Texas by San Jacinto Junior High 7th grade student Kinley Cuevas. Cuevas addressed the harsh living conditions of Texas for the Canary Islanders in her essay. The conditions were severe, but they continued to push through these hardships by remaining positive and keeping their goal in mind, she wrote. Although there were many struggles to get to San Antonio, the Islenos' influence brought light to the Texas economy by building the foundation from the ground up. Not only did the Islenos plant crops, they also brought much more, such as irrigation, which brought water to the city. District 1 representative of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, Corina Bilbrey, and Chapter Vice President Jerry Lilly were both on hand to present medals as well as certificates to Stike and Cuevas. Meanwhile, the director of the library, J.P. Pat McDaniel, was also on hand to give a brief history of the celebration. It's a great time to recognize our history, McDaniel said during his introduction of the Haley Memorial Library. When I came here in 1995, we decided to do the first Texas Independence Day celebration in March of 1996. From there, the tradition of the celebration of Texas Independence Day has continued every year at the library. The Nita Stewart Haley Memorial Library and J. Evetts Haley History Center helped to facilitate the study of southwestern Texas history. The library houses more than 25,000 books, manuscripts, and other printed materials documenting Western history. For more information on the Memorial Library, visit their website at https://haleylibrary.com. Toast to Texas. To Texas, joyous and sparkly evergreen when it rains, enduring in drought, timeless, endless in boundaries, exciting. Home to the adventurous of yesterday and today, with shrines from the past and space and spirit for the future. To Texas, everlasting in the hearts of your people. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. This article is from the sports section. It is entitled, MHS grad Hopple wins world championship in indoor 800. By Christopher Haydorn, staff writer. Bryce Hopple has held the title of UIL state champion, NCAA Division I champion, American champion, and Olympian. The Midland High grad is now a world champion. Hopple won the men's 800-meter final with a 2024 world best time of 1 minute 44.92 seconds during the World Athletics Indoor Championships track and field meet Sunday at Emirates Arena in Glasgow, Scotland. It was Hopple's second medal at the World Indoor Championships after he claimed bronze at the 2022 meet in Belgrade, Serbia. The CNBC telecast said Hopple is the first American to medal twice in the 800 at the World Indoor Championships. Hopple spent most of the second and third laps in the second place position and made his move past Sweden's Andreas Kramer before the final turn on the fourth lap. Hopple showed a strong burst down the final stretch to leave no doubt who the winner would be. Kramer placed second, 1 minute 45.27 seconds to claim silver, while Belgium's Elliot Crestan took bronze, 1 minute 45.32 seconds. Spain's Mariano Garcia, the 2022 indoor 800 champion, finished fifth, 1 minute 48.77 seconds. It was a dominant meet for Hopple, who ran the fastest time, 145.08, in Saturday's two semifinal races. Hopple also won his heat race on Friday with a time of 146.15. Hopple, who has trained this year at high altitude in Flagstaff, Arizona, appeared well-equipped to handle three straight days of racing at the Indoor World Championships. Hopple is a four-time American indoor champion in the 800 and a two-time American outdoor champion in 800. He is ranked number 8 in the world. Hopple will look to qualify for his second straight Olympics at the U.S. Olympic Team Trials June 21st to 30th in Eugene, Oregon. This article is entitled, Midland Fire Responds to Third Apartment Blaze, by B. K. Richter, staff writer. An apartment fire in Midland erupted Monday at 12:37 p.m. at the Palladium Apartments, 2300 La Mesa Road, on the southeast side of the city. This is the third apartment fire in less than 30 days. Midland Fire reported that the source of the blaze happened along an exterior balcony wall, and there was no extension to the attic. A press release from city officials also confirmed that no residents were displaced as a result of the fire. This article is entitled, Pease Holds Black History Event to Celebrate Diverse Campus, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Pease Communications and Technology hosted its annual Black History Festival on February 29th to celebrate its diverse campus and Black history. The festivities included refreshments, dancing, and music. However, much of the night was spent in a Pease auditorium, where Pease family liaison Courtney Ratliff quizzed the audience with a Who Am I game involving Black historical figures. Example, I began my career as a child entertainer and was the first African American to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress. Who am I? With the campus being as diverse as ours, it's important to recognize all the cultures that are involved here, Ratliff said. Each important story, each individual culture, helps create the entire picture of America. It's critical for us to be able to tell those stories and share that information with our community and with our school family. Ratliff grew up in Midland. He said these kinds of festivals and celebrations were typically a part of the church community growing up, but he said it's important to him that schools teach all parts of American history. I hope that everyone was able to take away a sense of unity, Ratliff said about the event. This is the second year we've done it, and in both years we've had the recitation of the I Have a Dream speech. One of the things that I hope everyone always takes away is that in order for us to be our best as a country, we have to do it together. Local pastor and Pease Crossing Guard Bill Palmer recited the famous speech. Ratliff said Palmer was classmates with his parents, and they have known each other since he was young. It's important for the kids to see him as not just a crossing guard, but for a wise man who does more than just that. I hate for anyone to be just in a bottle. So I want them, school community students, to see Mr. Bill, as they call him, in a different light. In addition, the Midland High School step team, the Soul Steppers, performed step dancing routines intermittently on Thursday. Ratliff shared that stepping originally became popular in fraternities and sororities at historically Black colleges and universities around the country. This year, Midland High School implemented a step team, according to Ratliff. Britannica defines the dance style as, quote, a complex, synchronized, dance-like performance that blends African folk traditions with popular culture, unquote. As February, National Black History Month, has now gone by on the calendar, Ratliff shared that Black history is American history, and it is important to celebrate the achievements of all Americans, no matter their background. If we do that, we will be a more united country all the way around, he said. This is the Life Tributes column. Frances Ann Ballinger, March 14, 1949 to February 27, 2024. Dallas. Wherever a beautiful soul has been, there is a trail of beautiful memories. Frances Ann Ballinger reached up and touched the face of her Lord and Savior in the early hours of February 27, 2024. Frances was a longtime resident of Dallas and Addison. She was born on March 14, 1949, in Big Spring, Texas, to Robert Turner Ballinger and Dolly Neal Ballinger, members of a pioneer West Texas ranching family. Frances was raised in Midland, the youngest of three girls, and she graduated from Midland Lee High School in 1967. Frances was preceded in death by her parents, Robert T. Ballinger and Dolly Neal Ballinger. her sister and brother-in-law Linda and Larry Glass of Sterling City, her niece Scarlett Squire of Plano, and her cousin Jesse Neal Coonrod of Laredo. She is survived by her lifetime partner, Dr. Jill Reitmeier of Indiana, her sister and brother-in-law Barbara and David Keene of Plano, as well as many nieces and nephews. A celebration of Frances's life will be held on Thursday, March 7th at Sparkman Hillcrest Funeral Home, 7405 West Northwest Highway, Dallas, 75225. A family visitation and reception at the funeral home will follow the service. In lieu of flowers, the family respectfully requests memorial donations be made to Operation Kindness in Carrollton, Texas, an animal charity of your choice, or the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. Vincent Sainz Villa. Vincent Sainz Villa, 32, passed away February 29th in Lubbock. A visitation will be held on Tuesday, March 5th, from 9 a.m. till 8 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 6th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Interment will follow at St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery, and funeral arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. Jane Maccabee. Jane Maccabee, 96, of Midland, passed away February 23rd. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, March 22nd, at St. Nicholas Episcopal Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ramon Moreno, age 92, of Midland, passed away February 29th. A visitation was held Sunday, March 3rd, from 1 to 9 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Burial will take place at Panteon Colinas del Eden in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at asanchestfh.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, March 5th. Environmentalists fight oil investments. New state law working to turn the tide. Environmentalist groups are pressuring banks and insurance companies not to finance or insure oil and natural gas company projects, and they have done some damage. The Permian Basin Petroleum, Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners, and the Texas Oil and Gas Associations say the battle has been joined and the outcome is uncertain. Those opposed to the oil and gas industry have utilized a number of different weapons to try and harm the industry, PBPA President Ben Shepherd said. Included in this arsenal have been a variety of attempts to increase the costs of oil and gas operations. The end game here appears to be to make some energy sources economically competitive, not by decreasing the real-world cost of those energy sources, which, to be fair, has also been attempted through government subsidies, but by increasing the cost of oil and gas energy development. Shepherd said regulatory burdens have traditionally been the preferred tool to manipulate the free market and increase the costs on energy operations. But there have also been attempts to increase costs by limiting access to capital or insurance. In 2021, he said, the Texas Senate's Bill 13 from Austin prohibited the state from investing in entities that boycott energy companies. The Texas comptroller was required to conduct a study of environmental, social and governance policies, and compile a list of those prohibited entities, he said. This law has begun to have an effect on financial institutions that have previously placed investment barriers on energy companies, causing some institutions to reject their previous positions and begin lending again. TPRO President Ed Longenecker said, pressuring financial institutions to reject oil and gas projects is yet another tactic used by activist organizations that have no true basis in reality. Many of these organizations exist solely to protect fossil fuels, offer no realistic solutions to replace this critical energy source, and ignore the immense damage these directives would cause, including shifting market share to countries that lack the same environmental standards as the U.S., Longenecker said. From Austin, the pendulum is shifting to economics. Energy security, policy, and common sense are starting to prevail over these biases, initiatives that those efforts will undoubtedly persist in one way or another. He said state legislators are having a direct impact with their legislation directing the state to divest from entities that boycott fossil fuels and following through with strict implementation and monitoring by Comptroller Glenn Hager. Last year, we saw the power sector increase its use of natural gas for power generation from 38% in 2022 to 42%, with levels expected to remain the same through 2024, Longenecker said. Growth in 2023 and 24 is linked to the use of natural gas over more carbon-intensive fuels, making it a significant source of power for the industrial, residential, and commercial sectors. The U.S. Energy Information Administration estimates that the consumption of natural gas in the commercial and residential sectors will increase to an average of 22 billion cubic feet per day in 2024. Considering American Power's sustained reliance on natural gas for electricity generation, the increased occurrence of severe weather events that require dispatchable generation and the electrification of the economy, natural gas is set to remain a critical energy resource for the power sector in the coming years, Longenecker said. TXOGA President Todd Staples said from Austin that a reliable energy supply is crucial. However, adverse policies are emerging which restrict or discourage investment in oil and natural gas, Staples said, crediting Senator Brian Birdwell, Republican Granberry, and Representative Phil King, Republican Weatherford, for passing SB 13. Oil and natural gas are irreplaceable commodities, and the industry is working to reduce emissions and address concerns through innovative solutions, he said. Promoting policies that encourage fair treatment regarding the necessary investment for all energy sources as we work toward a cleaner energy future is a goal that should be shared by everyone who understands the need for both reliability and affordability. Both can be achieved while making environmental progress. MCHS Foundation Children's Miracle Network provide funds for 6 new ventilators. The Medical Center Health System Foundation Board has approved the funding for 6 new Bunnell high-frequency jet ventilators for the NICU Neonatal Intensive Care Unit at MCH. The funds will come from Children's Miracle Network, and the total cost of these important ventilators is just over $330,000. Because the lungs of a preterm infant aren't fully developed, conventional ventilators cannot meet their breathing needs. the Bunnell high-frequency jet ventilators are specifically for NICU patients and provide a gentle way for the baby to breathe until their lungs mature. With the purchase of these 6 new ventilators, the NICU will be able to replace 3 of the aging models, while also adding 3 more, allowing more preterm babies to be treated at one time. We are so fortunate to have a Children's Miracle Network Hospital right here at MCH. Kelby Davis, Vice President, Medical Center Health System Foundation, said in a news release, "Thanks to Children's Miracle Network and Medical Center Health System Foundation, we are able to provide 6 brand new life-saving ventilators for our tiniest and most fragile of patients. Our daughter, Anderson, was right here in this very NICU on a ventilator. This purchase by the MCHS Foundation is near and dear to my heart. I am so proud to live in a community that supports MCH and the life-saving work this hospital is doing." Odessa Family YMCA hosts Giggle and Give fundraiser. The Odessa Family YMCA proudly presents the Giggle and Give fundraiser sponsored by Sandra and Toby Eoff. The fundraiser will start at 7 p.m. with doors opening at 6 p.m. April 4th at the Ector Theater, and it will feature comedian Lucas Bohn. Tickets are on sale now, with general admission tickets priced at $25. Front row VIP seating is available. Sponsorships are also available for this event. Tickets can be purchased at tinyurl.com/YC5MKSMR. For sponsorship information, please contact Tara Crouch at tcrouch@odessaymca.org. We are blessed to have the opportunity to hold a fundraiser at the Ector Theater thanks to the generosity of Sandra and Toby Eoff. Odessa Family YMCA CEO Chrissy Medina said in a news release, "In matching the values with the YMCA, we are excited to welcome comedian Lucas Bohn to the Permian Basin for a clean comedy show. We are expected to have a very busy 2024, and this is the perfect event to kick off the start of our annual campaign. The fundraiser will benefit the annual campaign for the Odessa Family YMCA. Those funds will benefit the pre-K through 3 program, which they have in partnership with the Ector County Independent School District. Youth sports scholarships and free community events held throughout the year include Healthy Kids Day. In addition to the comedy show, the Odessa Family YMCA will hold a silent auction, with all proceeds going to their annual campaign. Current silent auction items include suite tickets to a Dallas Cowboys football game, artwork from the Odessa Family YMCA Learning Center, 2-night stay in Marfa, WNBA tickets, private dance classes, Odessa Jackalopes tickets, Six Flags, Hurricane Harbor tickets, and many more. They are accepting items for the silent auction. Lucas Bohn has been seen on NBC's Bring the Funny and CBS's Coastal Comedy Live, performing with comedy legends like Kevin Hart, Jimmy Fallon, and Dave Chappelle. His first comedy special, Too Cool for School, went viral with over 50 million views. CBS 7 anchor Jay Hendricks will serve as Masters of Ceremonies for the event. UTPB alum named new principal of Ector Middle School. UT Permian Basin alum Alejandra Garcia was recently named the new principal of Ector Middle School for the 2024-2025 school year. Garcia earned her bachelor's degree in history as well as her master's degree in educational leadership from UTPB. Garcia says she is most excited to give back to the school where her teaching journey began. Her first job was at Ector Middle School, teaching 8th grade social studies. I am excited to return to the campus where my educational journey as a teacher began 10 years ago. They deserve nothing but the best, and I will ensure that is what they are provided, Garcia said. During her time at UTPB, Garcia was a student worker in the financial aid office, where she learned about all of the financial opportunities the university offers students. During her undergraduate career, she was awarded the Falcon Promise, now known as Falcon Free, which covered her tuition and mandatory fees. Thanks to encouragement from faculty and staff at UTPB, Garcia went on to earn her master's degree in hopes of advancing her teaching career. Getting my master's was a big goal of mine. It was something I always wanted to do, but I was nervous to begin. Garcia expresses her gratitude to Dr. Kevin Baggett, professor of educational leadership, as he played a significant role in her career. The professors are extremely helpful and were available 24/7 to answer any questions. Dr. Baggett, whom I reached out to plenty of times and still do to this day, always guided and helped me through my journey. Garcia encourages students to earn a degree, their degrees from UTPB, because of the great experiences she had on campus. Education is the key needed to open doors. The university is big enough to get the college experience, but small enough for you to really get to know your professors and advisors. Literacy Coalition donates power bags to Sand Hills Family Clinic East. Sand Hills Family Clinic East, located in Monahans, has received a generous donation of 25 power bags aimed at benefiting children ages 0 through 4 who receive vaccinations at the clinic. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, a dedicated advocate for education and community well-being, provided these power bags as part of their commitment to supporting the community. Delivered on Monday, February 26, the power bags were carefully curated to provide valuable resources to young patients and their families. Each power bag includes an informative pamphlet, baby books, and a baby toy. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin recognizes the importance of early literacy and education in shaping a child's future. By collaborating with Sand Hills Family Clinic East, the organization aims to contribute to the community's overall well-being and promote a love for reading and learning from the earliest stages of life, a news release said. For more information about the Power Bag or the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, please contact Sorai Laura at 432-301-1934 or at soraye@redpixelmarketing.com. Female officer wins recognition. UTPB police officer Georgia Reyes is being recognized for the great work she's doing for the University of Texas Permian Basin. Recently, she was named Officer of the Year for the UTPB Police Department, as well as Officer of the Month for the entire UT system. It comes as no surprise to those who know Reyes that she's being recognized. Officer Reyes always comes to work with a smile on her face and a positive attitude, ready to go above and beyond to assist her fellow officers and the citizens of Odessa, said Officer Reyes's supervisor, Sergeant Viviana Vasquez. It's hard to find someone in this field who has dealt with the things she has that maintains such a friendly, positive outlook on everything. If you're not her friend, it's because she hasn't met you yet. I enjoy working at UTPB PD because of my amazing coworkers. They are a large part of why I love my job so much. I work with great people that support me and push me to do better, added Reyes. One of the best parts of her job, she works on an all-female shift. We work well together, and it's very encouraging to have a female supervisor that has a great work ethic, and it's just tough and hardworking, added Reyes. Pfluger on SCOTUS ruling to keep Trump on ballot. Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, released a statement Monday following the unanimous Supreme Court decision restoring President Trump to Colorado ballot. Representative August Pfluger, I applaud the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling to prevent states from banning President Trump from the ballot and restore the rights of voters to decide the outcome of elections. TSTC to host industry job fair in Abilene. More than 70 companies will be represented at Texas State Technical College's Spring 2024 Industry Job Fair being held from 9 a.m. to noon on Wednesday at Texas State Technical College's Industrial Technology Center located at 2082 Quantum Loop in Abilene. The event is for TSTC students and alumni to meet employers that align with the technical programs that are taught at the college's four West Texas campuses. For more information, go to https://sites.google.com/tst.edu/industry.jobfair/home. Old Sheriff's Museum and Research Center to hold ribbon cutting on April 13th. Fort Davis. The Old Sheriff's Museum and Research Center in Fort Davis has scheduled a ribbon cutting April 13th at 11 a.m. at the Old Jail. The event will include tours of the museum, visits with regional law enforcement personnel, visits from regional county government officials and their families, and food will be available until 2 p.m. The Old Sheriff's Museum and Research Center is developing exhibits to display donated items and artifacts documenting the history of sheriffs in West Texas. Located by the Jeff Davis County Courthouse, the recently refurbished old jail will house exhibits, archives, and memorabilia about the history of law enforcement in the Tri-County region of West Texas. From Texas Rangers to local ranchers, from helping develop the state and national parks in the region to protecting the local communities, the history of these old sheriffs in and around Jeff Davis County, Brewster County, and Presidio County is filled with fascinating stories. To donate funds or artifacts, or to inquire about volunteering to help research law enforcement history, please visit the website at theoldsheriffsmuseum.org or email us at info@theoldsheriffsmuseum.org. Donations can also be accepted by check to the Old Sheriff's Museum, P.O. Box 1035, Fort Davis, Texas, 79734. Chamber Mixer. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce is hosting a business before hours mixer at Frost Bank, 3501 Fadre Road, from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. March 5th. March 4th is the last day to RSVP. Calendars approved. At its meeting on February 20th, the ECISD Board of Trustees approved the academic calendars for the 2024-25 school year. You will find them on the ECISD website under the Calendars tab. This is where you will find the official school district calendars. Internet searches can be unreliable, as older versions of calendars may appear in those searches. Always check the website first, the district advises. Bond 2023 update. Also at the February board meeting, trustees got an update on the progress being made on projects approved in Bond 2023. The latest on the bond finances, construction methods to be used on major projects, and the selection of architect engineering firms were all part of the discussion. You can follow the updates at ecisdbond.com. TPW Commission authorizes land exchange for new state park. Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission on Monday authorized the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, TPWD, to pursue acquisition of approximately 477 acres for a new state park in exchange for approximately 43 non-contiguous acres from Boca Chica State Park. This is an exciting opportunity to acquire land that has been of interest to us and the conservation community for many years, TPWD Executive Director David Yaskowitz, PhD, said in a news release. We look forward to working with Cameron County, city and state officials, as well as the public, to develop a shared vision of Bahia Grande that enhances conservation and expands recreational opportunities for all Texans, both now and in the future. The 477 acres offered to TPWD near Laguna Atascosa National Wildlife Refuge encompass one of the most biologically diverse regions in North America. Sheltering endangered species, winter fowl, and other migratory birds, the land exchange would create a tenfold return and allow TPWD to acquire land and initiate planning for a new state park for public enjoyment with access to fishing, kayaking, wildlife viewing, hiking, biking, and family gatherings in a rapidly developing region of Texas. In return, most of the 43 acres proposed for trade do not connect to each other or to areas offering public access to Boca Chica State Park. These smaller, non-contiguous tracts do not provide beach access and are dotted among private properties or immediately adjacent to SpaceX facilities, meaning they aren't readily available for public use and provide less cohesive wildlife habitat than offered by a connected and consistently managed tract of conservation land. Texans have resoundingly signaled their support for more public recreational opportunities, as evidenced by their overwhelming support for the constitutional amendment passed in November to develop and acquire more state parks with the Centennial Parks Conservation Fund in the Lone Star State. The current negotiation extends from more than a decade of cooperative work, allowing TPWD and SpaceX to carry out their respective missions as neighbors. For more information, visit tpwd.texas.gov. Texas Crime Stoppers Council selects OHS student as council member. Annually, the Texas Crime Stoppers Council has the authority to designate a current student enrolled in a public school in the state actively engaged in the Texas Crime Stoppers Ambassador Program as a non-voting student advisor to the council. Clarissa De Leon, a junior at Odessa High School and a member of Odessa Crime Stoppers, was selected to be a student member of the Texas Crime Stoppers Council for 2024-2025. The Texas Crime Stoppers Council has only selected a student twice in the history of the council. De Leon is the second student to be selected. The first ever student member of the council was also from ECISD and Odessa Crime Stoppers. Judge Dan Whalen will swear De Leon into office at the ECISD Police Department, 1314 North Lee, at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 6th.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.